Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. So, this is one of those weeks where you look up from your desk and realise the ground just shifted, not in a dramatic way, more like you blink and suddenly everyone's building things that used to take teams of engineers months to even prototype, and they're doing it in hours. Let me explain what I mean. Okay, so Anthropic published something this week that honestly made me stop and rethink how AI development works. They've built what they're calling a three-agent harness, and before your eyes glaze over, stay with me because this is actually really clever. Here's how it works. Instead of one AI trying to do everything, planning, coding, testing, fixing, they split it into three separate agents. One plans the work, one generates the code, and one evaluates whether it's any good. Each agent has a clear job, they hand off to each other, and the whole thing can run for hours without getting lost or confused. Now, why does that matter? Because up until now, if you gave an AI a big coding task, it would start strong and then drift, lose the thread, forget what it was doing. You'd come back 3 hours later and find it had written itself into a corner. This fixes that. The planning agent keeps the roadmap. The generation agent writes code. The evaluation agent checks the work. It's structured. It's coherent. And it actually works for multi-hour sessions. The takeaway? AI can now handle the kind of work that used to need a developer sitting there supervising every step. That's a different category of usefulness. Worth thinking about what that means for project scoping, right? Right. And speaking of AI doing things autonomously, a LangChain engineer shared something this week that genuinely surprised me. They built a self-healing deployment pipeline, not self-healing in the buzzword sense, actually self-healing. Here's what happens. An agent monitors production for errors. When something breaks, it runs statistical models to figure out if the latest deploy caused it or if it's just background noise. If it decides the deploy is the problem, it triages the issue, writes a fix, and opens a pull request. No human involved until code review. Think about that for a second. The system detects the problem, figures out the cause, writes the solution, and hands it to you ready to merge. That's not a demo, that's production infrastructure. Now, obviously there are risks here. You don't want agents pushing code without oversight, but the interesting bit is that they're not. They're doing the grunt work, the detective work of what broke and why, and then handing the actual fix to a human for approval. That's a smart division of labor. The big picture? We're moving from AI can write code to AI can maintain code in production. That's a much bigger deal. Okay, completely different corner of the tech world now, but stay with me because this one's wild. Quantum computing just crossed a threshold, a real one. Not a benchmark, not a lab result. An actual practical application that outperforms classical systems. Researchers built a 9-qubit quantum processor, so tiny by quantum standards, and tested it on weather forecasting, real forecasting tasks, not toy problems. And it outperformed classical neural networks with thousands of nodes. Let that sink in. 9 qubits beat thousands of classical nodes on a task that matters. Weather forecasting is a huge industry. It's economically critical. And quantum just proved it can do it better with vastly fewer resources. Now, this is still early. 9 qubits isn't going to replace Met Office supercomputers tomorrow. But the principle is proven. Quantum systems can solve real-world forecasting problems more efficiently than classical systems. That's the threshold we just crossed. And here's the other quantum story that caught my eye this week. Researchers finally mapped the microscopic mechanism of quantum collapse in open environments, which, okay, sounds academic, but it's actually a huge deal. Here's why. Quantum theory works beautifully in perfectly isolated systems, but the real world isn't perfectly isolated. Quantum states collapse when they interact with their environment. And until now, we understood that it happens. But not exactly how at the microscopic level. Now we do. What that means is better engineering. If you understand the mechanism, you can design around it. You can build quantum systems that last longer before collapsing. That's the kind of foundational work that makes everything else possible. So, stepping back from both of those, here's what I keep coming back to. Quantum just stopped being theoretical. It's solving real problems. And the foundational science is catching up with the engineering. That combination is what makes breakthroughs accelerate. Right, let me lighten things up a bit. JavaScript got some updates this week. ECMAScript 2025 is official. And while that sounds dry, there are a couple of things in here that are genuinely useful. Iterator helpers with lazy evaluation, which means you can chain operations on big datasets without loading everything into memory. Native set operations, intersection, union, difference, built into the language. No more pulling in a library for basic set maths. And regexp.escape, which finally gives you a safe way to use user input in regular expressions without getting wrecked by special characters. None of these are flashy, but they're the kind of quality of life improvements that save you an hour here, a debugging session there, and over a year, that adds up. The interesting thing about JavaScript's evolution is that it's getting more deliberate. The language is maturing. The committee is picking features that solve real pain points, not just chasing trends. And that's a sign of a healthy ecosystem. Okay, and one more web story, because this one's just clever. Someone built a tool called TigerFS. It mounts a PostgreSQL database as a file system, so instead of writing SQL queries, you just use standard Unix commands. ls to list tables, cat to read rows, grep to search, find to filter. Now, I know what you're thinking. Why would you do that? SQL exists for a reason. But here's the thing. If you're building AI agents, they're already fluent in command line tools. They know how to use ls and grep. Teaching them SQL is an extra step, but if the database looks like a file system, they already know how to work with it. It's a brilliant piece of lateral thinking. You're not changing the data, you're changing the interface to match how agents already think. Is it going to replace SQL? No. But for rapid prototyping, for letting agents explore databases without writing query logic, it's a really smart hack. So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. The skill floor just dropped. The time from idea to working prototype is collapsing. Tools that used to require expert knowledge are becoming accessible to anyone who can describe what they want. And that's not just making existing workflows faster, it's changing what people even attempt to build, quantum crossed from theory to practice. Web standards are maturing in ways that make developers' lives easier, and AI infrastructure is moving from impressive demos to actually handles production workloads. We're in one of those moments where a bunch of separate trends converge, and the result is that the possible just expanded. Something to think about on the commute home. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.